wishing all of you a very happy holiday season and a peaceful new year.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A spacecraft is on track to fly through the tail of a comet on Friday, collecting hundreds of specks of the primitive material from which the sun, the planets, and all living creatures are made, NASA said. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration's Stardust spacecraft is expected to pass within 186 miles of the comet Vild 2 as it catches the shimmering gas and dust cloud that envelops the dirty ball of ice and rock. The unmanned probe should make its closest approach at 2:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday, when the comet and probe will be 242 million miles from Earth, mission members said Tuesday at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Hoping to stop State Representative Gary Haluska from winning a sixth term, local Republicans in Pennsylvania have taken the unusual step of placing a classified ad in a newspaper seeking state House hopefuls. Republicans have about a month to gather the 300 signatures on nominating petitions, spurring County GOP Robert A. Gleason to cast a wide net for candidates. Enticements include $62,000 a year, a leased car, mileage paid, and a pension. The hardest part of the job may be unseating Haluska, a Democrat who has held the seat in the county of 152,000, where Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1 since 1994. George W. Bush again ranks as the man most admired by Americans. But First Lady Laura Bush came in third among women in the annual poll. For the second year in a row, Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York was the most admired woman. The former First Lady was the first or second choice of 16% in a USA Today CNN Gallup poll. Her memoir, Living History, is a bestseller this year. Last year, 7% chose her. TV host Oprah Winfrey was second this year and in 2002. Laura Bush was also third last year. She placed first in 2001 after the September 11th terrorist attacks.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth. And that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
M&M's, the colorful button-shaped candies, are about to go off color for the first time in 60 years, but it remains to be seen whether the fans love or hate the change. The chocolate-filled, sugar-coated candies will be available in only black and white for the next few months, instead of the usual six colors as part of a promotional campaign. The company plans to bring back the colored candy to the market after the promotion runs its course in a few months. This is Don Waller in New York. For all of us at IE America Network News, Happy New Year.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Few things that we eat are as good or good for us as a nice piece of fresh pink salmon pulled out of the cold, pristine waters of our northern oceans and rivers. Or at least, that's the image of this noble fish. For wild salmon, the image is true. But 80% of the salmon sold in U.S. markets and restaurants today comes from fish farms. More and more, these are corporate-owned, industrialized operations that jam tens of thousands of salmon together in ocean pens, much as the infamous hog poultry and beef factories do on land. The top priority of these operations is quick profit, based on high volume and shortcuts on costs. There's no free lunch, so the price of these quick profits is paid by others. Start with the fish. Jammed together, they suffer abrasions and diseases that have to be dealt with by dousing them with pesticides in the water and feeding them antibiotics. Many escape from their pens into the surrounding ocean, and since they've been artificially fattened, they're huge and able to decimate the stocks of wild salmon. The environment pays, too. The toxics dumped in these factory pens contaminate the surrounding water, as does the enormous amount of fish waste. A single pen produces more waste than a small city, and these outfits typically have 20 pens each. Then there's us. The factory salmon grow huge, but they have twice the saturated fat of wild salmon and less of the fatty acids that make salmon good for us. They also bring more toxic contaminants to our tables, and get this, they have to be artificially colored. While wild salmon get naturally pink from their diet of shrimp and krill, the factories feed their salmon a fish meal that produces fast weight gain but leaves them gray or khaki in color. So petrochemicals are added to produce a made-to-order range of light pink to red coloring. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop the damage being done by these salmon factories, call Environmental Defense, 212-505-2100.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, friends, to our program. Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live, coast to coast, on the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. Streaming live around, we're on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network, streaming live around the planet. On IEAmericaRadio.com, Live365.com, and we just got updated statistics from RadioPower.org, a listener-sponsored network. They work entirely on your contributions, so if you listen to them, click that button, you know, to help them out. 10,000 listeners a day in more than 100 countries. So we're getting out not just on the radio stations all across the country, literally radio stations from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic, and also on Sirius Radio, Stream 145, but also all over the planet on radiopower.org. It's amazing, you know. It's just I remember 30 years ago when I first started in radio. Well, it was more than that. When I was in 1987. When I first started in radio, or 1967, when I first started in radio, just the idea that you can say something and vibrate a little diaphragm on a microphone, and all over the place, other people are hearing, you know, the diaphragm on a loudspeaker vibrating, and it's your voice coming out. It's amazing. It's humbling. It's scary, but it's fun. Anyhow, we have a great show today, a lot of stuff on our program. In our second hour, we're going to have brunch with Bernie. Bernie Sanders, the America's congressman. He, of course, is the only independent congressman in the United States House of Representatives. He's my congressman from Vermont, but that's almost anecdotal. I mean, I have a feeling we'd be doing this even if I lived in, you know, Michigan or New Hampshire or Georgia, any of the other states that I've lived in the past. Bernie is a true national treasure, and he loves to take calls from listeners. So if you have questions for Bernie, remember our second hour, 1 hour from now, more or less, give us a call, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and you can talk with Bernie Sanders. In our first hour here, I want to get into, the double standards that have to do with crime and punishment in America, particularly you know, one of number nine in our 10 ways to restore democracy in America. And if you go to TomHartmann.com and click on Restore Democracy, you'll see what I'm talking about. By the way, if you stop there also, you can click on the chat room, drop into our chat room, and find also archives of the program at WhiteRoseSociety.org, as well as the old archives that we've got of programs that we've done over the last year, chopped up into little bits and pieces by topic. Brilliant job done by Mike Toth down in Florida. And so anyhow, if you look at the 10 ways to restore democracy, number nine is America is not a kingdom and we don't elect kings. This is one of the core principles. Our founders understood this, and it appears that the current administration doesn't. That Jimmy Carter walked to his inauguration, and in doing so, he was following the tradition started by Thomas Jefferson. John Adams, who preceded Jefferson, there was Washington, who rode on horseback to his inaugural. Then there was John Adams, who had a liveried carriage, six horses pulling a carriage that was worthy of a European king, with footmen in the back and shooting cannons, and long live President John Adams, and, as if he was a king. And this is how he traveled throughout his presidency. In fact, one time when John Adams was traveling through a city in Delaware, I'm not sure the name of the city, but anyhow, it was in Delaware, there was a fellow in a bar who was rather inebriated, and he heard the cannons going off because John Adams, mostly his wife was the one behind this. She aspired to royalty. Adams was actually a reasonably humble guy, although he had a hair trigger temper, and he hated anybody who contradicted him or who opposed him. But anyhow, she had this thing set up where wherever they went, they had to fire the cannons and they had to line the streets, and everybody had to chant at the same time, "Hail to John Adams! Long live the president!" And when that happened, this guy sitting in the bar said, "Hey, they're firing the cannons at John Adams. I don't care if they fire one at his arse." And this, of course, was just after 1798, the third year of John Adams' presidency, in the middle of the second year, the tail end of the second year. And when he had passed, he had just recently signed into law the 1798 edition of what today is the Patriot Act, which gave the president the right to lock up people for things that the president didn't like, for specifically sedition. And sedition was defined as speaking in a way that would bring disrepute upon the president. So this bartender, who was a Federalist, a lover of Adams, he was part of Adams' party, he heard this drunk make this comment. Sort of like, drunks these days can make comments, and suddenly somebody calls the Secret Service, and boom, off they go. And he went out to the street and got one of Adams' many police, and they came in and they arrested this guy and they threw him in prison. And he stayed there until 2 years later when Thomas Jefferson became president and pardoned all of the many, many people that John Adams had put in prison for speaking ill of him. So anyhow, this has been reincarnated under this administration. And there's this whole issue of crime and punishment and the double standards that are happening right now. I want to talk about that briefly. And I'm not talking about Rush Limbaugh. That's so obvious we don't even need to get into it. But some real serious issues here. And then secondly, later in this hour, I want to just raise the question and answer it, I think, in some reasonable degree of, is there a middle ground between laissez-faire capitalism, that is, anything goes, unrestrained capitalism, no rules, or the corporations get to write the rules by running things like the WTO and NAFTA, and, on the one hand, and the welfare state, on the other hand. See, this is how the cons present it. They say, you either have to just let the corporations do whatever they want, and everything will be fine, or you have absolute socialism, Soviet Union-style socialism, an incredible welfare state, and it's a false argument. It completely overlooks this huge middle ground that is historically where the United States has positioned itself. And the cons have been so successful in creating this phony argument, this phony dichotomy, that many people don't realize that there is an option other than those two. And I want to get into that in the second half hour of the program. But in the first half hour of the program, this double standard. Today is day 830 in the search for that man whose name shall not pass George Bush's lips. Other than, I think the last time George Bush mentioned Osama bin Laden was about 2 months ago when he said, and I quote, "No, there is no connection between Saddam Hussein and 9/11. Well, actually, he didn't even say Osama bin Laden at the time. But 830 days since George Bush said that we would get Osama dead or alive. And, well, you know, as we get closer and closer to the election, the probabilities increase arithmetically, if not geometrically. 805 days since somebody sent anthrax to a bunch of Democrats who were considering the Patriot Act, Tom Daschle and Patrick Leahy, the head of the Democrats, who then controlled the Senate and had the ability to kill the Patriot Act and were inclined to do so, and Pat Leahy, who was the head of the Judiciary Committee, which would have had to release the Patriot Act for it to be voted on, and was inclined not to do so, and suddenly they both got anthrax, had to leave their offices, couldn't have anything to do. Anyway, 805 days, 319 days since we began the search for weapons of mass destruction, and now to the crime, 165 days. Since somebody in the White House, 177,000 square miles of Iraq, 55,000 square feet of the White House. In Iraq, somehow, we can find Osama, although apparently it's with the help of the Kurds. But in those 55,000 square feet of the White House, we have been unable to find the man who committed treason, the traitor who outed not just to Bob Novak, but called six different news agencies. Novak was the only one who was sufficiently corrupt to actually publish the story. Who outed Valerie Plame, a CIA agent, and in doing so destroyed an entire CIA front company that had been operating for 20 years, put the lives of hundreds of operatives and contacts all across the world at risk, possibly led to the death of people. I mean, this was not just a CIA operation. This was a major CIA counterterrorism operation. And the administration has admitted that it was a senior administration official. Joe Wilson says it was Karl Rove. Karl Rove's former business partner and good buddy, John Ashcroft, is in charge of the investigation. And what does the president say about it? Speaking of the double standard, here we have a crime which could be punishable by death. And the president says,
and I don't know if we're going to find out the senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah. So, now, on it goes. Here we have a young man. This is from ABC News. We have a young man from the state of Maine. He lived in Kennebunkport. His first name is Patrick. He was 14 years old. And he and an older friend broke into a boathouse in Arundel, Maine, last July 7th. They were trying to steal a marine radio out of a boat. And when they broke into this boathouse and they saw that there were monitor cameras, and so they got the bright idea to burn down the boathouse so that there would be no evidence of their crimes. Well, they got caught, as you might expect. And, you know, typically this is the sort of thing. I mean, a 14-year-old boy committing vandalism, burning down a boathouse, what would you expect? 6 months in the juvenile detention center? 3 months? Maybe a year? I don't, you know, a year seems pretty tough for a 14-year-old kid. The juvenile detention centers are really horrific places. You certainly wouldn't expect that he would end up in a federal penitentiary for 2.5 years, would you? I mean, that's like, people get that for things, you know, for federal penitentiary. Well, it turns out that there was a boat motor in that boathouse that was owned by George Herbert Walker Bush. And as the parents said, Secret Service agents, ATF agents, fire marshals, and police all descended on the house. And the kid got 30 months in a federal prison. in a federal prison. 20 minutes after the hour, this is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ned Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Kathy, I'm lost, I say. Oh, I wish you were sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars, I'm a New Jersey Turnpike, they've all. Look for America.
Republican for America, too. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. What has happened to our country? Where has America gone? I mean, there was a time in feudal times, basically from the beginning of the Dark Ages in 410, with the fall of the Roman Empire to the Visigoths, until roughly the 14th, 15th century, the beginning of the Enlightenment, referred to as the Dark Ages and Middle Ages. Typically the first 400 years of that is more or less referred to as the Dark Ages, the time for which we have virtually no written history. And then, after the Crusades, it became the Middle Ages. The Crusades actually, something I just learned this morning, the Crusades, when the European Christians attacked the Arabs in the Middle East and during the Crusades, they recovered or they stole or took from the Arabs the writings of Aristotle and Plato and Socrates. They had all been lost to the Europeans. It was the Muslims who had kept this stuff intact. And it's funny how, you follow the trail. I mean, that was how it got to Europe, and then from Europe it got to North America, and from North America it got to Thomas Jefferson, and boom, we've got American democracy. Interesting. Not that the means justify the ends, just an interesting story. But anyhow, back during the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, and arguably right up to the Industrial Revolution, individuals in Europe didn't have rights. They only had privileges, and those privileges were defined by the king or the local feudal lords or the pope. And those privileges did not include the right to poach the king's stuff. You know, I mean, the feudal lords had some pretty spectacular or strange or powerful, I don't mean spectacular and isn't it a wonderful, I mean, you know, probably they thought of it as that, rights. The right of the first knight is a famous one. It played well in that Mel Gibson movie, was it Braveheart, I think? Where the local feudal lord had the obligation, a difficult job it was, I'm sure, to sleep with every woman who got married in their community on her first night. It was called the right of the first night. And it was a way of ensuring that everybody was, because usually the first child born then, not usually, but very often the first child born was the child of the local feudal lord or the local king. And therefore, communities became genetically bound together, which had some, sociologists say there was some adaptive mechanism in all of that. I think it's just a bizarre. But anyhow, that's a symbol of how the kind of power they had. And if you poached the king's deer, you could put to death. They routinely put people to death. Hungry people who went out and shot animals in the forest that belonged to the king. The king would go out and hunt these things for sport. But if a peasant tried to eat them. So now there are only two people from all of the New England states. Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, New York. I don't know what I'm missing. Massachusetts. Two people from all of those states who are in federal prisons. And they are these two kids who are involved in breaking into this boathouse that held the boat engine of George Herbert Walker Bush. 57 months in a federal prison for one. The kid, the 14-year-old, since Patrick was committed to a maximum security facility this past August, his parents are only able to speak with him for 5 minutes once a week. This kid's in lockdown in a federal facility because he dared tamper with or destroy the king's property. Well, that's interesting. Let's look at a crime that's a little more serious than burning down a boathouse and destroying George Bush's boat engine right after this break. This is Tom Hartman. You're in the Democracy Zone. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Thank you. Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. I hope you have a happy and peaceful holiday season.
Scientists hope to use a few thousand animals and 10 years of work to paint a new picture of the Pacific Ocean. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Randy Kochivar says it's hard to learn about the lives of sharks, whales, and other creatures in the Pacific Ocean for a simple reason. You can't see them. Kochivar is a marine biologist at the Monterey Bay Aquarium in California, and he says there's still a lot to learn about where animals in the open ocean feed and breed.
If we wanted to describe the African savanna, you know, you could close your eyes and just picture what it would look like to see lions roaming around and chasing zebras and chasing giraffes and so on. But if I asked you to do the same exercise in the Pacific Ocean, you couldn't do that. We don't have that view, that sort of mountaintop looking down view of the interactions of these animals. And it's because we can't just see through water.
Kochivar is working with an international team of scientists to overcome that obstacle. They're attaching sophisticated tags onto 4,000 or 5,000 animals that include whales, sharks, fish, and turtles. The tags carry electronic devices that record location, water temperature, and other information. The tags on the sharks transmit data to satellites. Tags on fish like tuna will be recovered when the fish are caught by sport or commercial fishers.
With these new electronic technologies that we're using to tag and follow these animals, we begin to get that kind of a view of where these animals go and what the forces are that drive those movements.
Kochivar says the project will last for 10 years and describe the travels of 22 species in a completely new way. He says that will help scientists and government managers find ways to protect them from the increasing pressures of pollution and sport and commercial fishing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Common Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Now it's a scandal, writes Timothy Noah. New evidence that a House GOP leader offered a bribe. So we've got a 14-year-old kid, one of only two, the other being his 17-year-old partner in crime, who burned down a boathouse that had an engine in it, a boat engine in it, owned by George Herbert Walker Bush. And as a result, the Secret Service got involved. This wasn't on the Bush compound. It wasn't anywhere near the Bush property. It just happened to have the property of the king in it, or of the royal family. And they're serving 57 months and 30 months, respectively, in maximum security federal penitentiaries, allowed 5 minutes of conversation with their family per week. These are serious criminals. They took from the royal family. Now, within the royal household, we have somebody who committed treason, who committed a crime for which the Rosenbergs were put to death. And that person, well, the king says, well, we don't know. This is a big administration. We've got a lot of senior officials there. And now in the family, in the extended family of the king, we have another crime. One of the most horrific crimes that a public servant can commit is to abandon the public trust in favor of private interest. In order for American democracy or any democracy to work and to survive over time, it must have the faith and trust of its people. We must be able to believe that our government is acting in our benefit, since it is our government. If we really and truly have what Abraham Lincoln called in the Gettysburg Address, government of the people, by the people, for the people, which shall not perish from this earth, he prayed. If we really have that, if we truly have that in this nation, we must have the faith and confidence that our public servants are acting on our behalf. By the way, our quote for the day, perhaps apropos to this, Thomas Jefferson, a letter to Dupont de Nemours, April 24, 1816, enlighten the people. Our duty on this program, enlighten the people. And tyranny and oppressions of body and mind will vanish like spirits at the dawn of day. So anyhow, here we have a member of the administration who has committed a crime of accepting or of has witnessed a crime of a senior member of the royal family offering a bribe. Representative Nick Smith of Michigan was opposed to the Medicare bill. He felt it was a giveaway to the drug companies and the pharmaceutical companies and all the good buddies of Bill Frist, the multimillionaire whose family made his multimillions by taking public-owned hospitals private and then squeezing the customers for a little extra profit, making millions and millions of dollars so that he could buy himself a seat in the United States Senate, where he is the beloved of the king. And now Nick Smith in the House of Representatives, he's decided he's not going to run for office again. He's a Republican, a true conservative in the old sense, in the Barry Goldwater sense, in the balanced budget sense. And he says, you know, no, we shouldn't vote for this thing because it's full of pork and it's a giveaway to the big pharma and big drug companies. And then he says, you know, Denny Hastert, I mean, normally the vote is 15 minutes. Denny Hastert extended it for the first time in 227 years to 3 hours, because that's how long it took them to run around the house and twist arms. This was at 4 o'clock in the morning. And he says on a couple of different occasions people offered him bribes. Here is Nick Smith talking about this on WKZO, Kevin Vandenbroek's program in Kalamazoo, Michigan, the district that Nick Smith represents. Here he is speaking about this.
I had voted against last year and last spring against the prescription drug add-on provisions that's going to cost gives a heck of a lot of money. And the arm twisting was probably as strong as I've ever seen it, my 16 years in the Michigan legislature and my 11 years in Congress.
So the arm twisting was pretty strong. Now he gets into the actual crime that he witnessed, the federal felony.
They threatened. Here's what they did. They started out by offering the carrot, and they know what's important to every member, and what's important to me is my family and my kids.
What's important to me is my family and my kids. Well, where's this going?
And I term limited myself, and so Bradley, my son...
I'm term limited myself. So Bradley, in other words, he's one of those guys who went in when they, you know, when Gingrich had his contract on America and said we should have term limits. This guy actually believed it. This is a man apparently of principles.
He is running for office, and so the first offer.
And so his son Bradley is running, and so the first offer that they offered him
was to give him $100,000 plus for his campaign and endorsements by national leadership.
There you go. Representative Nick Smith charging that a federal felony for which someone should go to Leavenworth prison was committed on the House of the on the floor of the House of Representatives. He continues.
I said, no, I'm going to stick to my guns on what I think is right for the constituents in my district. And so what they did then is come forth with sort of the stick. And they said, well, if you don't change your vote, this is about 4 a.m. Saturday morning, then some of us are going to work to make sure your son doesn't get to Congress.
And now the stick. I mean, these guys play hardball. And you don't want to take our bribe? This is the mafia. This is how the mafia operates. You don't want to take our bribe? We're going to break your kneecaps, buddy. We're going to make sure that your son is not elected.
And that kind of personal attack is just sort of beyond what anybody should do. So I told them to get the heck out of there, and I might have used a different word besides heck. I don't know. But it's a tough situation when civility breaks down.
Yeah, it's a tough situation when civility breaks down. It's a tough situation when a federal felony is committed. Here we've got a 14-year-old kid serving 30 months in the federal penitentiary, locked down, five minutes a week. He can speak to his family because he burned up a boat engine owned by the royal family, George Herbert Walker Bush's boat engine, a spare motor for his boat. And on the floor of the House of Representatives, Dennis Hastert, according to the cameras that were present, commits a federal felony. And so they asked John Ashcroft, are you going to investigate this? And Ashcroft, on December 11th, 2003, at a Justice Department press conference, said, and I quote, well, we obviously frequently receive information in which individuals bring to our attention things that they think are appropriate for our attention, and we consider those very seriously. Has he done anything? No! Not a damn thing. He has done nothing. And now Representative Smith, I guess he's got the kneecapper's got to him. He is a little concerned about what might happen to his son, because now he is saying, oh, well, I was misquoted. Really, I didn't witness any federal crimes. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Let me remind you again, by the way, that Bernie Sanders, America's congressman, is going to be on in the next hour. Don't hesitate to call in when Bernie is on, because he loves to hear from folks and answer questions, and feel free to toss the hard ones at him, because he's good at it. Leland in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Leland, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. Well, you got me in tears this morning. And wanted to ask two questions. One is, can citizens bring an arrest on Denny Hastert for this without the cooperation of Nick Smith? And two, how can we get that 14-year-old guy out of prison?
You know, I don't honestly know the answer to either of those questions, Leland. The citizen arrest statutes, I believe, are not federal laws. I believe that they're local and they vary from state to state and community to community. But I am not an attorney, so I'm not the guy to answer that. What I would suggest is that you call 224 3121, which is the Capitol building. And from that number, you can ask to be transferred to the Justice Department, to your elected, to your congressman, to your senator's office, to the president's, and, you know, anywhere. That's the official number for the Capitol, 202-224-3121. And start calling until you get some answers. Here we have, you know, a United States congressman who on the radio and in a newspaper article he wrote in his own hand, published under his own name, has alleged a federal felony. And now it's, you know, the great whitewash is underway. It's going on and on and on, and you know, here's the law. The law under this federal law, a person commits bribery if he, and I quote, this from the United States Code, Title 18, Section 201, directly or indirectly, corruptly gives, offers, or promises anything of value to any public official or person who has been selected to be a public official, or offers to promise any public official or any person who has been selected to be a public official to give anything of value to any other person or entity, such as his son, with intent to influence any official act. Now, that's pretty unambiguous. It's pretty straightforward. So how's that for a start, Leland?
Well, that sounds good. I just can't understand. I mean, I'm really sad to hear that Nick Smith has retracted his testimony, because without him, the case is obviously pretty hollow.
Yeah, although he's on the record.
That's right.
I mean, he's on the record. But you're right. The case is pretty hollow because the cameras that filmed all this did not have sound associated with them. So, you know, we unfortunately don't have those things. But on the other hand, if Nick Smith was one of those guys who term limited himself, one of Gingrich's Republicans, I mean, there were some of those guys came in with high moral vision. I mean, they really. You know, I disagree with them on many of their principles and philosophies and positions, but nonetheless, I respect their integrity and their consistency. And if he's one of the, and he is, he's one of those guys who went in and said, okay, I'm just going to do a couple of terms and then that's it. And so now he's going to do a family dynasty. It's kind of a weasel way out, I suppose, to run your son for the same office. He's got a similar name. He'll probably win and all that. But nonetheless, it appears from Nick Smith's congressional history that he is a man of some principles, and I'm guessing that if he was put before a grand jury, or if he was brought before an officer of the law or a magistrate and was put under oath, that he would tell the truth. I am guessing he would tell the truth. See, there's no law against lying to the press. There's no law against lying. I mean, you know, you can lie to anybody in the United States as long as you haven't been put under oath. It's perfectly okay to say, you know, honey, that looks great on you. No, you don't look fat in that, or whatever. I mean, you know, pardon me, that's a terrible sexist joke, but everybody gets it. I mean, we all, the political discourse is filled with little white lies. It's a necessary thing at some level. We have the right to lie. Now, corporations are claiming the right to lie. That's wrong. And Nick Smith apparently has decided that lying is the better part of keeping his job and his son's job. But I believe that he probably would not lie if he was put under oath.
Yeah, but that would mean he would have to have a lot of support from the public.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Leland, thank you for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Eric in Santa Fe wants to weigh in. Hey, Eric, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Happy Boxing Day.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm great, but I'll get better. How about you, Eric?
I'm doing pretty good. I guess this is the second call from Santa Fe. I had a question for you. Before you said you were talking about the leak of information, and I was wondering what your feelings were about Robert Novak, and being an experienced journalist, what are your feelings about him actually putting this out to the public view?
Well, first of all, I have a hard time considering Robert Novak a legitimate journalist. Novak has exposed his sources in the past when it has served his partisan purposes. Novak, in my opinion, you know, you look at his history, you look at his career, you look at the stuff that he does on Fire, Crossfire. He's a political hack masquerading as a journalist, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. And, you know, I think that journalists have a right to protect their sources, and that's a right that we must protect. But Bob Novak has outed his sources in the past when it served his purposes. But even beyond Bob Novak, if the president really wanted to find the criminal, he could do that easily. He'd just have to call people in the White House and say, who did it? And they'd have to tell him. This is thanks for the call, Art. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Burn down the motor to my boat if I'm a member of the royal family. This is Tom Hartman back with you on the IE America Radio Network. Greetings to Agarab, Coach Glenn, Fur Mountain Doug, Gnarlodius, Pace Cop, Tahoe, Kevin, and Guest 9 in our chat room also. And we have Curtis in Portland on the line. Curtis, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Portland, Oregon, eh?
Morning, Tom.
Hey, Curtis.
Hey, I don't know why you're making such a big stink about this 14-year-old in prison, considering all the time that W spent for his cocaine sales and his two DWIs and his raping of a woman.
Well, George W. actually performed several months of community service for his cocaine arrest, and that's a member of matter of public record. In fact, he refers to it in his autobiography, although he doesn't point out that it was the result of an arrest for possession of cocaine. And so, you know, he had some consequences as well.
He also stated publicly that he was going to get the bottom of the case to who out of the CIA agent. So,
yeah, he did.
Well, he's a man of his word, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't recall him having. Thank you, John. I don't recall him having publicly said that he was going to get to the bottom of that case. In fact. To the contrary, what I recall George W. Bush saying was something more like this right here.
And I don't know if we're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
That's what I remember him saying.
Well, I remember it, too, but...
Yeah, a little different.
I think you did catch that sarcasm in there.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Okay.
So what are you going to do about it, Curtis?
I wish I knew.
How about contacting your elected officials? How about contact your member of the House of Representatives, since this happened in the House of Representatives, and say, hey, it looks like a federal felony has been committed. It casts a poor light on all of you guys. How can I trust you with this sort of thing going on? And, you know, see what happened. Curtis, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news with Bernie Sanders.
It's coming from a field that just ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about...
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush again ranks as the man most admired by Americans, but First Lady Laura Bush came in third among women in the annual poll. For the second year in a row, Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York was the most admired woman. The former First Lady was the first or second choice of 16% in a USA Today CNN Gallup poll. Her memoir, Living History, is a bestseller this year. Last year, 7% chose her. TV host Oprah Winfrey was second this year and in 2002. Laura Bush was also third last year. She placed first in 2001 after the September 11th terrorist attacks. A spacecraft is on track to fly through the tail of a comet on Friday, collecting hundreds of specks of the primitive material from which the sun, the planets, and all living creatures are made, NASA said. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration's Stardust spacecraft is expected to pass within 186 miles of the comet Vild 2 as it catches the shimmering gas and dust cloud that envelops the dirty ball of ice and rock. The unmanned probe should make its closest approach at 2:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday, when the comet and probe will be 242 million miles from Earth, mission members said Tuesday at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Hundreds of relatives will be getting a free ride to visit soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan at military hospitals around the country. Operation Hero Miles is giving 680 free plane tickets to families and friends of wounded troops. Since November, the program has also been providing free plane tickets home for soldiers on leave from Iraq and Afghanistan using donated frequent flyer miles. The tickets will be distributed through the Fisher House Foundation, a nonprofit organization that opens its 32 homes across the country to military families. The official U.S. population will rise to over 292 million on the first day of the new year, an increase of nearly 3 million in a year, according to the Census Bureau, which says the country now adds a person every 12 seconds. More news after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org.
A New York man who says he sells books and magazines on the street was rescued after being trapped for 2 days under a mountain of reading material in his apartment. Patrice Moore had apparently been standing up when the books, catalogs, mail, and newspapers swamped him on Saturday. Firefighters and neighbors rescued him on Monday afternoon, and he was hospitalized in stable condition Tuesday morning with leg injuries. This is Don Waller in New York. For all of us at IE America Network News, Happy New Year.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Few things that we eat are as good or good for us as a nice piece of fresh pink salmon pulled out of the cold, pristine waters of our northern oceans and rivers. Or at least, that's the image of this noble fish. For wild salmon, the image is true. But 80% of the salmon sold in U.S. markets and restaurants today comes from fish farms. More and more, these are corporate-owned, industrialized operations that jam tens of thousands of salmon together in ocean pens, much as the infamous hog poultry and beef factories do on land. The top priority of these operations is quick profit, based on high volume and shortcuts on costs. There's no free lunch, so the price of these quick profits is paid by others. Start with the fish. Jammed together, they suffer abrasions and diseases that have to be dealt with by dousing them with pesticides in the water and feeding them antibiotics. Many escape from their pens into the surrounding ocean, and since they've been artificially fattened, they're huge and able to decimate the stocks of wild salmon. The environment pays, too. The toxics dumped in these factory pens contaminate the surrounding water, as does the enormous amount of fish waste. A single pen produces more waste than a small city, and these outfits typically have 20 pens each. Then there's us. The factory salmon grow huge, but they have twice the saturated fat of wild salmon and less of the fatty acids that make salmon good for us. They also bring more toxic contaminants to our tables, and get this, they have to be artificially colored. While wild salmon get naturally pink from their diet of shrimp and krill, the factories feed their salmon a fish meal that produces fast weight gain but leaves them gray or khaki in color. So petrochemicals are added to produce a made-to-order range of light pink to red coloring. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop the damage being done by these salmon factories, call Environmental Defense, 212-505-2100.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception on the IE America Radio Network, streaming, beaming live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, stream 145, Sirius Left. And radiopower.org on the internet with over 10,000 listeners a day in over 100 countries, as well as ieamericaradio.com and live365.com. Our quote for this hour is from Edward G. Ryan, the Chief Justice of Wisconsin's Supreme Court in 1873. Just as the Gilded Age was really starting to go rip-roaring, which produced the populist backlash, which I think, you know, history's repeating itself, he said, "There is looming up a new and dark power. The enterprises of the country are aggregating vast corporate combinations of unexampled capital, boldly marching, not for economical conquests only, but for political power. The question will arise, and arise in your day, though not perhaps not fully in mine, which shall rule, wealth or man? Which shall lead, money or intellect? Who shall fill public stations? Educated and patriotic free men, or the feudal serfs of corporate capital?" End of quote. It's the second hour of our Friday program. It's Brunch with Bernie time. We're with America's congressman, the only independent member of the House of Representatives, Congressman Bernie Sanders. 1991 became the first independent congressman elected in over 40 years. He has since been reelected five times. He's the longest serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives. Bernie Sanders, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Tom, it's good to be with you.
Hey, Bernie, always great to have our Brunch with Bernie segment here on Friday afternoons. I'm so glad you could make it.
And let me just take this opportunity to wish all of the listeners a very happy holiday season and a healthy new year.
Thank you. Thank you. And ditto. And happy Boxing Day.
Right, for our Canadian friends.
Well, we have listeners in the UK. We've had calls to this program from Scotland, from England, from Australia.
Fantastic. And you're doing a great job in combating, what do you call it, the conservative weapons of mass deception.
Well, there you go.
That's good terminology.
Yeah. And I appreciate your help in it. Bernie, let's recap the year. What do you see as the big events of the year?
I'll tell you, to me, and I may be the only person in America who looks at this way, is, Tom, if you look at the major issues facing America, the major issues are the quality of our democracy, whether people know what's going on in their country, in the world, whether they know how to respond, whether we can create a vibrant democracy, or whether we have a situation where a few people tell us what they consider to be important, and they get us marching in the direction they want us to go. So within that context, you know what interests me? What interests me is more and more people in this country are waking up to corporate control over the media, knowing that the most important issues facing the middle class and working Americans get very, very little coverage, and day after day after day, we are deflected to Michael Jackson or Colby Bryant or Lacey Peterson or Paris Hilton or wherever they want to take us. But somehow or another, we don't focus on the issues that face ordinary Americans. And more people, Tom, are catching on to that issue.
Yeah, you know, Bernie, since we started this program earlier in the year, every time Silvio Berlusconi is in the news, I've got actually the music, the national anthem of Italy, which I play, and I do a Berlusconi alert, you know, and every time I take an opportunity to remind people that this guy started out as a small-time crook and entrepreneur, built his way up in business in some part by apparently bribing judges, since his business partner just went to prison for that, and they had to pass through Congress, through Parliament, a special exemption so that he could not be prosecuted while he was prime minister. He bought a television station. He bought another one. He bought a radio station. He bought another one. He now owns all the television networks in Italy except the one owned by the state. He has put his cronies in as the entire board of directors of the state-owned one. He owns most of the radio stations in Italy. He's now trying to buy all of the newspapers in Italy. And once he owned all of that media, he and his party ran for prime minister. I mean, you know, you don't run for prime minister, but he put his party forward and he won. And all these, you know, and he was indicted for corruption. He's been indicted for bribing a federal judge. All this stuff, and we constantly do these Berlusconi alerts because I want people to realize what can happen when a media empire like this takes over a nation. And now we see. I'd like your thoughts on this Rupert Murdoch and DirecTV. Now he just gathered what 44 million more listeners and all this kind of stuff.
That's right. Well, I think your point about Berlusconi is absolutely right, and that is the trend. The trend is the merger of media and politics. Berlusconi is probably the poster child for that. Imagine having the leader of the country, the guy who controls all of the media. And I fear very much that that's the direction not only that we're moving in the United States, but that we're moving all over the world. You mentioned Rupert Murdoch, and we know that Murdoch's news corporation now has been able to take over DirecTV, which is a major satellite television provider, and that will give this guy even more control. And I think people, and you do a good job on this, Tom, but that is what we have got to focus on. And then we have to ask ourselves, what is the agenda of these guys? Are these guys interested in a vibrant democracy? Are they really staying up nights worrying about the middle class and working families? Do they really talk about the issues, the day-to-day issues that impact people? Let me just give you some examples, and I want the listeners to comment on this. Tell me what they think. I happen to believe that it is a serious problem in this country when the wealthiest 1% of the population owns more wealth than the bottom 95%, and that the richest 1% earn, income-wise, more income than the bottom 40% of the country. Is that an important issue? I think it is a hugely important issue. You tell me, Tom, how often do we talk about distribution of wealth and income in America?
Yeah, outside of this program, never.
I mean, so you have, you know, people may argue, people may call up and say, hey, that's what America is. You go out and make billions while we have children sleeping out on the street. That's the way it is. That's, you know, that's the law of the jungle, and I believe in that. Fine. I don't have a problem with somebody saying that. But let's have that discussion. The president and others, are faith-based. They talk about religion. Well, you know, my reading of the Bible is that you don't ally yourself, you don't align yourself with the rich and the powerful against the poor and against the children. And that's what we're seeing right now. We are seeing another issue. You tell me how much. You know, you're versant on this issue. You read. In America right now, people are working longer hours than they have since the 1920s. Over the last 30 years, workers in middle-income families with children have added an average of 20 weeks at work a year. Five more months over the last 30 years. So what you're seeing now is you need two breadwinners in a family, and most of that additional work time is coming from wives who are now forced to join the workforce. Do we hear much discussion about that?
Yeah, no, never. Bernie, we've got a couple of callers
on
the line.
Okay, well, we're going right away.
Okay, yeah, you've touched some nerves. The first one is Bernie in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Bernie, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air with Bernie Sanders and Tom Hartman.
You must mean Glenn in Tulsa.
Oh, Glenn. Okay, it was Glenn in Tulsa calling for Bernie. I thought that was an odd coincidence. Okay, hey, Glenn, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, for Christmas, I got a new book by Carville called Had Enough, and he lays out a lot of stuff. And, you know, one of the glaring things I see regularly is that all these deficits are terrible. You know, Democrats tax and spend, create deficits, Republicans, and he lists 67 of them who voted in 92, 94, 95, and then 27, actually, a few of them who weren't in Congress then, who then voted for deficit, a national amendment. Help me out here. An amendment.
A balanced budget amendment.
Balanced budget amendment, right. And now they voted for these huge tax cuts and are saying deficits don't matter. We'll just pass them on to our kids.
That's right.
We'll pass them on to their kids.
That's right.
But if the interest isn't going to build up and eat up all the available money.
That's right.
And it's really a sneaky plan, I think, for them to starve the government of from Medicare, Social Security, and all the things that are going to protect us. Because they couldn't go out there and openly cut them. So now they can just, if this goes through, they can just say, we don't have the money.
Well, I think Glenn, Tom, I think Glenn hit it right on the head. I think the long-term plan is not only to give tax breaks to millionaire and billionaire supporters. That is disgusting, but that's what politics is about. But there's a more cynical plan afoot, and that is if you run up huge deficits and you run up huge national debts, then what you do is you come before the American people and you say, gee, you know what? We just can't maintain Social Security. We can't maintain Medicare. We can't maintain Medicaid or the Veterans Administration. So I think Glenn has hit it right on the head. But what interests me also, and Tom, again, you tell me what you think on this one. When Gingrich was running high, that's all these guys were talking about was the deficit. The media every day, my God, how terrible it is to leave.
All the way back to Barry Goldwater.
That's right. You remember they used to have this big thing up there with every minute you were seeing the increase in the national debt? Remember that ticking away?
Yeah, the debt clock is back, by the way.
$4 trillion, it's gone up to $5 trillion, it's gone up. Hey, where is that discussion right now? You got the President of the United States giving us the largest deficit in the history of this country. National debt is going up. We're going to pay hundreds of billions of dollars every single year on the national debt. We're giving tax breaks to the rich and letting our kids and grandchildren pay for that. Now, again, some people may call up and say, hey, you know, it's going to stimulate the economy, it does that. Fine. But where is the focus? If deficits were so terrible 10 years ago, why aren't they terrible today? If it was immoral 10 years ago to leave huge debts to our kids and our grandchildren, why isn't it immoral today? Who's talking about it today? And again, I get back to the media and the hypocrisy there. If you want to be a conservative, conservatives are not supposed to run up huge deficits and leave national debts to our kids and grandchildren.
Well, I think even liberals shouldn't. You know, this is something that transcends political labels. This
is really
rational, you know, economics.
It really does. But my point is, 10 years ago, that's all we were hearing about. Suddenly, George Bush is doing it. Hey, what's the problem? And let me tell you something. This is the most Here's a guy. This is irresponsibility of the worst kind, to simply give tax breaks to billionaires so that our grandkids can pay for that. That is an outrage.
Yeah, it absolutely is. This is one of the most hypocritical, and in my opinion, I've really studied this. I used to think that the Ulysses S. Grant administration was the most corrupt in history, with the railroad bribery scandals that caused, you know, he was so bad his own Republican Party wouldn't nominate him for a third term, even though he begged them to. So many of his officials had to leave office during the railroad bribery scandals, but this administration beats them all. It's just mind-boggling, and the media is right in bed with them. We have Keith in Burlington, Vermont, and Tony in Waukegan, Illinois on the line. Hang on, guys. We'll get to you right after the break. This is Tom Hartman with Bernie Sanders on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GAO report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the Internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, let me close my eyes, spin me around, let me point, Syria! Because they have weapons of mass destruction.
This is so much fun, spin me around again. Iran! Oh, I love this game! Uncle Dick, can I play this game so much?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Fast Tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Thank you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Where despair is not an option, get active. This is Tom Hartman bringing you Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. And today, Brunch with Bernie. It's our Bernie Sanders segment, the second hour of our Friday program. And Congressman Bernie Sanders, America's congressman, the only independent in the House of Representatives, and one of the most extraordinary politicians we have in the United States, a national treasure. We have Keith in Burlington, Vermont, with a question or comment. Hey, Keith, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air with Tom and Bernie. I think we have Keith. Hey, John, what happened to Keith? Guess he's not there. Okay, let's go to Tony in Waukegan. Keith, if you're listening to your radio, you need to listen to the telephone instead. Hey, Tony in Waukegan, Illinois. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
I have a couple of comments. I've called in many times, and now that I have a congressman on the line, I'd really like to ask him his impression about the No Child Left Behind. I'm a teacher here in Illinois. I teach high school, and I think this No Child Left Behind bill, I don't know how it passed, but this thing is designed, as far as I can tell, it's only designed to do one thing, and that's literally to rip the guts out of public education as we know it. I don't see how any real public school can possibly meet the expectations that they put forward in this bill long term, much less short term. And they're not funding it, and even if they did, the expectations are unrealistic. That's one aspect of things. And the second thing I'd like to ask about is, how do you see the Republican Party claiming to be such a ethical and moral and allegedly Christian type of organization that constantly is talking about not wanting to fund schools in terms of paying for kids to eat, not funding health care for kids, not caring about, you know, the poor, the hungry, the people who can't find work? You know, I heard about them not wanting to extend unemployment benefits for people who hadn't been able to find work over the last 26 or 28 weeks or something like that. I mean, how do they reconcile these things? And that's kind of like the congressman.
Tom's asked a lot of good questions there. I voted against No Child Left Behind. I think it's a very bad educational policy. I think, as Tom indicates, it is consistent with the goal of the Bush administration to move toward the privatization of public schools in America, with a great emphasis on religious schools. And I think that is a disaster. I find it incredible that the Bush administration can come up with hundreds of billions of dollars in funding for tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires, but when it comes to adequately funding public education or Head Start or child care, there's just no money available. So I think Tom's point is probably right, that in the recesses of these guys' minds, and they're sometimes public about it, they really want to eliminate the role the government plays in protecting the American people in almost every area of our life. So it's not just public education, which they want to privatize. Some of them call it government schools, you know, like China or the old Soviet Union. But it's Social Security, it's Medicare, it's the Veterans Administration, it's many jobs, federal jobs, you controllers in our airports as well. So I think Tom is right about that. The second issue deals with how do they claim to be moral,
And Bernie, I'm going to have to. We're going to a break here in about three seconds, so I'm going to ask you to pick that up.
The bottom line is these guys are not moral. They're carried by the media. They are at war against the poor and working class, and they represent big money interests. That to me is not morality.
Yeah, well said. Bernie Sanders with Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is John Lucas from Operations here at IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
Scientists hope to use a few thousand animals and 10 years of work to paint a new picture of the Pacific Ocean. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Randy Kochivar says it's hard to learn about the lives of sharks, whales, and other creatures in the Pacific Ocean for a simple reason. You can't see them. Kochivar is a marine biologist at the Monterey Bay Aquarium in California, and he says there's still a lot to learn about where animals in the open ocean feed and breed.
If we wanted to describe the African savanna, you know, you could close your eyes and just picture what it would look like to see lions roaming around and chasing zebras and chasing giraffes and so on. But if I asked you to do the same exercise in the Pacific Ocean, you couldn't do that. We don't have that view, that sort of mountaintop looking down view of the interactions of these animals. And it's because we can't just see through water.
Kochivar is working with an international team of scientists to overcome that obstacle. They're attaching sophisticated tags onto 4,000 or 5,000 animals that include whales, sharks, fish, and turtles. The tags carry electronic devices that record location, water temperature, and other information. The tags on the sharks transmit data to satellites. Tags on fish like tuna will be recovered when the fish are caught by sport or commercial fishers.
With these new electronic technologies that we're using to tag and follow these animals, we begin to get that kind of a view of where these animals go and what the forces are that drive those movements.
Kochivar says the project will last for 10 years and describe the travels of 22 species in a completely new way. He says that will help scientists and government managers find ways to protect them from the increasing pressures of pollution and sport and commercial fishing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey. This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshire.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family, cheers. Have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune in to tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And dump the reds in a pile, boy. Dump the reds in a pile. You'd better wipe off that smile, boy. Better wipe off that smile. We'll spit through the streets of the cities we wreck. And we'll find you a leader that you can elect. Those treaties we signed were a pain in the neck. Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world.
Phil Oakes, Cops of the World. Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman with Bernie Sanders on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you have a question for Congressman Sanders. America's independent congressman. He's the longest-serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives. And 1-800-825-5937 is that number. Keith in Burlington, Vermont is on the line. Hey, Keith, welcome to the program. Keith, hey, Keith is going to do it again. Okay.
The folks in the background there, too. This is truly a major convergence here of some great minds.
There you go. Welcome, Keith.
I have a couple questions for the both of you, actually. The first one has to do with the topic du jour about corporate control over the government. I talked to you, Bernie, during the first campaign you ran for the House, and I asked you what your threshold issue was in getting any headway on all the issues that you and I agree on. And you said to me that at that time, this was 8-10 years ago, I guess, that campaign finance reform was the most important issue to address before we could really make any headway on all these other issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm sensing that you have sort of evolved in that position to realize that no matter what we do with campaign finance reform, the corporations will find a way around it or quash it in a Republican-controlled House or Senate. What's your opinion now if I were to ask you that same question? What's the threshold issue?
That's a good question, Keith, and your memory is good, and I think that's probably what I told you at the time. And I believe that still, because so long as big money can make huge contributions to candidates for the president, and as you know, George Bush is on his way to raising $200 million for his primary election. He doesn't have a primary opponent. So long as big money can dictate who gets to Washington, who gets the governor's chairs, it's going to be very difficult to change the politics of the country. But I think what goes on, it's not only big money in terms of electing candidates, it's big money in terms of media determining what we see here in Reed. It is big money in terms of lobbying. The pharmaceutical industry has spent hundreds of millions of dollars in recent years to make sure that we continue to pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs, and they and their friends make sure we don't have a national health care program. So I would say you add all of these things together, and the challenge of the moment, and I think about this every day, and I hope all of the listeners do, how do we bring the middle class and working families and lower income people together? How do we organize people? How do we get them involved politically around a progressive agenda to take power in the United States of America away from these guys? And that's kind of what I wrestle with. No simple solutions, but that's the issue that I think about.
These folks are in the Congress, and they're essentially bought and employed by those same moneyed interests. How do we get them to vote against their employers?
Well, they're not going to. Keith, what has to be done is we need to deal with the reality that in the last off-presidential election, 40% of the people voted. Most young people don't vote. Most working people don't vote. Most low-income people don't vote. So the challenge is not just to go into the Congress now and say, hey, guys, gotten all this money from big money interest, change your views. It ain't going to happen. You're right. The challenge is to do mass mobilization among working people, change the political culture in this country. You know what really upsets me is our Republican friends, Rush Limbaugh and that whole crowd, they know that politics takes place 365 days a year. Our side does not. And we've got to change that political culture, get people knocking on doors, get their friends, their co-workers, their students starting to think about the major issues facing ordinary people in America.
Tom, I'm hoping you could chime in at this point. What can we do politically and socially to take away the power that the corporations have acquired over the last 150, 200 years?
Yeah. Keith, good question, and thank you. I appreciate the call. There's two things. Number one, there's a huge movement against corporate personhood in the United States, and that's a whole other rant, and you've heard, if you listen to this program regularly, you've heard me talk about that. And secondly, you know, last week when Bernie was on, we played a clip of Teddy Roosevelt talking about a living wage. And Teddy Roosevelt, of course, was president in 1905. And let me just very quickly read, and again, those of you who listen to the program regularly have heard this, but Bernie, I think you'll find this fascinating. It's only four sentences here. Read Wisconsin Law 4479A, Section 1, Chapter 492, passed in 1905. It was an update, actually, of a law that was originally passed in the around 1807. And laws like this were on the books in every state in the United States, and they only started being removed in the 1920s and 1930s. This law was not removed until 1947 in Wisconsin. And this is the law that said that what we today call lobbying was then called bribery and influencing. And here's the law. This is the Wisconsin statute, section 4479. Political contributions by corporations. No corporation doing business in this state shall pay or contribute or offer consent or agree or to pay or contribute directly or indirectly any money, property, free service of its officers or employees or thing of value to any political party, organization, committee, or individual for any political purpose whatsoever or for the purpose of influencing legislation of any kind or to promote or defeat the candidacy of any person for nomination, appointment, or election to any political office. A penalty. Any officer, employee, agent, or attorney or other representative of any corporation acting for and in behalf of such corporation who shall violate this act shall be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for a period of not less than 1 nor more than 5 years or by both such fine and imprisonment at the discretion of the court. If a corporation, it shall be subject to the penalty then by forfeiture in double the amount of any fine, and if a domestic corporation, it shall be dissolved. And that was the result of the populist backlash to the Gilded Age. And now we're back in the Gilded Age again, and I'm seeing another populist backlash, and I'd like to see laws like that being reintroduced. Your thoughts on that, Bernie? And then we've got three more callers here to get to.
Well, for a start also, I think what you need, getting back to Keith's original point about campaign finance reform, you need public funding of elections and limitations on the amount of money that can be spent.
Right.
That would take us a long way, I think, to create a level playing field, allowing candidates to win election who represented the middle class rather than just the rich.
Yeah, well said. I was invited to speak at Oxford University last year and was startled to hear in the discussion after my speech that if you run for the House of Commons there, you can't spend more than £100,000, period. You know, regardless of where you get the money from,
right.
and these limits, just, you know, hey, how much in debt can you get to a corporation if that's the limit? Okay, 1-800-TALK, yes, our number 1-800-825-5937. Rama in Vermont is on the line. Hey, Rama, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Bernie Sanders.
Hello, Tom, and hello, Bernie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. You're my representative too, and I'm proud to have voted you for you. I think every time that you've run. So
thanks very much.
A comment and then a question. The comment's real short here. Is just how far, you know, this public outreach that you guys are talking about has come. Although I know it has to go a lot further, but you know, Bernie, I can remember 10 years ago you sitting there and you spent most of your time speaking to the public on late night C-SPAN. So you've come a long, long, long way since then, and I congratulate you on all the hard work that you've done.
Well, you too. I know you've been doing a lot of work in the media as well.
Well, thank you, sir. And the question is, one of the things that we talked about a lot over the years was the Gulf War syndrome, and I was wondering if you're still heavily involved in that and if there's any updates and all, and I'll just hang up and listen.
Rama, I know, has been very interested. Rama did radio in central Vermont. The whole Gulf War illness syndrome, which we were very involved in and are still involved in. Bottom line is that despite tremendous opposition from the Department of Defense and the VA in terms of recognizing the severity of the problem, approximately 100,000 American soldiers who served in the first Gulf War are suffering from one or another aspect of Gulf War syndrome. There is some breakthrough. There have been some breakthroughs in recent years. Dr. Robert Haley, who's at the University of Texas, seems to have discovered that what we are looking at is a brain damage caused by low level sarin and other types of toxicity, which have caused symptoms which that we now refer to as Gulf War illness. So he has, I think, done some excellent research. He is beginning now to get some support from the federal government. I would say that's the major step forward that I have seen in recent years.
What do you think about depleted uranium, Bernie?
I think it's a real problem. And again, I think we don't get anywhere near the kind of honest discussion about the implications of that in terms of what it has done to people who have been exposed to that. You know, the truth is, if you just take a step back and you look at how the DOD, Department of Defense, and the VA have treated veterans for so many years, it is really, really a disgrace. You'll remember, Tom, that the government refused to acknowledge the health problems associated to nuclear radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Vietnam veterans who may be listening to this program remember how hard it was, what kind of struggle it was for the veterans organizations to get the government to acknowledge the dangers of Agent Orange.
Oh, yeah.
And Rama just calls up and reminds us again what happened in 1991 with Gulf War illness. You would think that it would be the Veterans Administration or the Department of Defense to be the first people to acknowledge the problems that veterans have suffered on the battlefield, and yet it is only kicking and screaming that they finally come up with the kind of compensation and help that our veterans need in so many instances.
Yeah, unfortunately. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. It's Brunch with Bernie Sanders, America's congressman. Armand in Sarasota, California is on the line. Hey, Armand, welcome to the program. You're on live with Bernie and Tom.
Thank you very much. I have two questions. Hi, Bernie. How are you?
How are you doing, Armand?
That's not real. Okay. It's a question, but that's not one of the ones I want to ask. But anyway, the first one for you and Tom is, do you know who said this statement here? If people can be made to believe in lies and propaganda, surely they can be called to believe in truth and justice.
Well, I'm failing your test, Armand. Let's move
along.
I'm failing it too. I'm sorry.
Yours truly.
Okay.
I thought of that yesterday.
All right. Well,
okay.
There you go.
Okay, and then the other question I have is, do you know anything about a bill that the Republicans are trying to get through Congress? And what they want to do is they want to make trickle-nomics a 501c-based religion exemption. You know anything about that?
Well, I think what these guys are trying to do in a number of ways is try to get public money into religious organizations. So it would not surprise me that they would move in that direction in the economic field as well.
Yeah, this is the great sucking up to corporation, big corporations and big religion, big organized religion.
And, you know, as a caller pointed out earlier, there is something really bad about using religion for political purposes, when for many of us what religion is about is compassion. It is reaching out to the people in need. It is not defending the rich and the powerful. It is not being pro-war. And yet, in the midst of all of that, these guys talk about religion, and I have a little bit of difficulty with that.
Yeah, James Madison, actually, and oh, I forget the year, but anyhow, he vetoed, when he was a member of the House of Representatives, he vetoed strongly voted against and fought vigorously, and then later as president vetoed a similar one, bills that would provide for money to give to churches to provide for the poor, saying that this was the beginning of the end of the wall of separation. He didn't use the phrase wall of separation, that was Jefferson's, but in his own words, that wall of separation between church and state, and that he thought it was entirely inappropriate that the government should give any money to any religious organization whatsoever for any purpose, period, and that caring for the poor was a secular purpose.
And here we are today with the Bushes.
Yeah, it's bizarre. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, Rob in Newtown, Pennsylvania, is on the line. Hey, Rob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Ernie, I was reading yesterday, revisiting the Project for a New American Century's position paper that they put out in 2000, kind of spelling out their plans for going into Iraq and the kind of war that they do. And I happened to look at the guy who wrote it. He now has a job as an nice, sweet job working for one of the... for Boeing, I think. Or
was that Richard Pearl?
Pardon me?
Who was that, Richard Pearl?
No, I could dig it up in a second while I'm talking to you. But what really came to my mind was a realization that what they did, what PNAC did, was they put together a plan that was going to just feed an enormous amount of business to the businesses that were supporting them.
Uh-huh.
And it made me think that that's what the left has to do. You can't, I mean, I don't think it's possible at this point in history to just turn around in the next 2 years and say we're not going to deal with businesses. We have to get them to work for us, and I think the way to do it is to enact legislation that makes them want to do good stuff. So I wrote a piece. I came up with, like, in just a half an hour, I came up with, 16 or 17 different ways that it would be really easy to make businesses give them rewards for doing good things, like instead of spending money on war, spend it on renewable energy. Instead of spending it on fighting, give them giving them tax breaks for.
We're running out of time here, Rob. We got your point, and after this break, Bernie will come back and comment on it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's Brunch with Bernie, and we'll be right back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Pep behaves badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman with Bernie Sanders on the IE America Radio Network. Congressman Bernie Sanders. Bernie, we've got 3 minutes left in this segment. We've got Margaret in Illinois with a quick question. We'll get her in and get her question, and then you can answer both her and Rob, if that's
okay,
all right with
let's
you.
Do that.
Great. Margaret, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air with Bernie Sanders.
Thank you. Mr. Sanders.
You're going to have to speak up, Margaret.
I have a dilemma concerning Social Security.
Yeah.
I draw a teacher's pension, and I was given letters as to what I would be drawing in Social Security throughout the years. What I paid in is what I should have drawn. And they cut it two-thirds, called it double dipping. And I'm wondering if any congressman or anyone is going to take up this issue.
Margaret, the answer is yes. Many of us are. It's a national problem, and there is legislation that has been proposed to address that issue. Teachers should be getting what they were promised, and some of us are working on that.
Well,
should she be contacting her elected representative, Brian?
Absolutely.
Contact your congressperson there, Margaret.
Okay.
Do you have the telephone number, Margaret?
Senator or congressman.
Yeah.
Well,
you want to do both. But this is legislation that is being discussed, that has been proposed, and we certainly want to pass it. So
and,
I would suggest you contact your local people.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the phone number, Margaret, in Washington is area code 202-224-3121. And I'll say that again at the beginning of the next hour so that Bernie can continue here.
Okay.
Thank you, Margaret.
And Tom, while we're at it, let me throw in my website in Washington. It's bernie.house.gov. A whole lot of information about what's going on in Congress and around the country. Going back to Rob's question, he says, shouldn't we be working with businesses that want to do good things, want to create jobs, want to protect the environment? And he's absolutely right. Instead of giving tens and tens of billions of dollars in tax breaks and subsidies to companies that are shutting down in America and moving to China or to Mexico or wherever, we should be supporting those companies that want to create decent-paying jobs in this country. Instead of giving huge, huge subsidies to the pharmaceutical industry, we should, and to insurance companies, we should be working with those people who are interested in providing quality health care to the American people, and on it goes. So there's a lot of work to be done with medium and small-sized businesses that want to do good things for the American people.
Well done. And Jimmy Carter, you know, started a lot of that with, of course, Reagan undid it. But, Bernie, just as a minutia here, February 21st, 1811 was when James Madison vetoed that bill. He said that the bill to, quote, provide support for the support of the poor and education of poor children of the same would be a precedent for giving to religious societies and is therefore unacceptable, end quote. Amazing. Bernie Sanders, thanks so much for being with us today.
Good to be with you.
Thank you. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't think of
better. Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A spacecraft is on track to fly through the tail of a comet on Friday, collecting hundreds of specks of the primitive material from which the sun, the planets, and all living creatures are made, NASA said. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration Stardust spacecraft is expected to pass within 186 miles of the comet Vild 2 as it catches the shimmering gas and dust cloud that envelops the dirty ball of ice and rock. The unmanned probe should make its closest approach at 2:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday, when the comet and probe will be 242 million miles from Earth, mission members said Tuesday at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Hoping to stop State Representative Gary Haluska from winning a sixth term, local Republicans in Pennsylvania have taken the unusual step of placing a classified ad in a newspaper seeking state House hopefuls. Republicans have about a month to gather the 300 signatures on nominating petitions, spurring County GOP Robert A. Gleason to cast a wide net for candidates. Enticements include $62,000 a year, a leased car, mileage paid, and a pension. The hardest part of the job may be unseating Haluska, a Democrat who has held the seat in the county of 152,000, where Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1 since 1994. George W. Bush again ranks as the man most admired by Americans. But First Lady Laura Bush came in third among women in the annual poll. For the second year in a row, Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York was the most admired woman. The former First Lady was the first or second choice of 16% in a USA Today CNN Gallup poll. Her memoir, Living History, is a bestseller this year. Last year, 7% chose her. TV host Oprah Winfrey was second this year and in 2002. Laura Bush was also third last year. She placed first in 2001 after the September 11th terrorist attacks.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth. And that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
M&M's, the colorful button-shaped candies, are about to go off color for the first time in 60 years, but it remains to be seen whether the fans love or hate the change. The chocolate-filled, sugar-coated candies will be available in only black and white for the next few months, instead of the usual six colors as part of a promotional campaign. The company plans to bring back the colored candy to the market after the promotion runs its course in a few months. This is Don Waller in New York. For all of us at IE America Network News, Happy New Year.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Few things that we eat are as good or good for us as a nice piece of fresh pink salmon pulled out of the cold, pristine waters of our northern oceans and rivers. Or at least, that's the image of this noble fish. For wild salmon, the image is true. But 80% of the salmon sold in U.S. markets and restaurants today comes from fish farms. More and more, these are corporate-owned, industrialized operations that jam tens of thousands of salmon together in ocean pens, much as the infamous hog, poultry, and beef factories do on land. The top priority of these operations is quick profit, based on high volume and shortcuts on costs. There's no free lunch, so the price of these quick profits is paid by others. Start with the fish. Jammed together, they suffer abrasions and diseases that have to be dealt with by dousing them with pesticides in the water and feeding them antibiotics. Many escape from their pens into the surrounding ocean, and since they've been artificially fattened, they're huge and able to decimate the stocks of wild salmon. The environment pays, too. The toxics dumped in these factory pens contaminate the surrounding water, as does the enormous amount of fish waste. A single pen produces more waste than a small city. And these outfits typically have 20 pens each. Then there's us. The factory salmon grow huge, but they have twice the saturated fat of wild salmon and less of the fatty acids that make salmon good for us. They also bring more toxic contaminants to our tables, and get this, they have to be artificially colored. While wild salmon get naturally pink from their diet of shrimp and krill, the factories feed their salmon a fish meal that produces fast weight gain but leaves them gray or khaki in color. So petrochemicals are added to produce a made-to-order range of light pink to red coloring. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop the damage being done by these salmon factories, call Environmental Defense, 212-505-2100.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. It's Friday afternoon. I've got a whole stack of stuff here that we can talk about. And if there's anything on your mind or something that you want to bring up, feel free to call. We'll just make it an open lines Friday, as has been the tradition in talk radio for a decade or more. 1-800-TALK-YES, the number, 1-800-825-5937. Today is Boxing Day. Boxing Day has nothing to do with pugilism, with the sport of boxing. It appears there's a couple of different stories about Boxing Day that apparently goes back to the Middle Ages in England, and in fact is celebrated in most of the British colonies, the Commonwealth countries, British Commonwealth countries around the world, including Canada, Australia, England, and so on. And one of the stories is that during the Middle Ages, people, the poor, as it were, the working poor, were required to work on Christmas Day, but they were given the following day off. The servants, they had to work on Christmas Day to serve the lords, right? Because the big parties and everything. And so they were given boxes of gifts at the end of the day on Christmas to take home and open the next day. And so the next day, the day after Christmas, was the day of celebration for the working people who had to work so that the rich people could have their parties and festivities. That's one story. The other story is that people went to church on Sundays or on Christmas Day and brought gifts or left money for the poor, and that those were distributed the day after Christmas, these boxes of gifts, and thus again Boxing Day. And it may be that both are the case. It may be that neither is the case, because the origins of Boxing Day are lost in the mists of time. It's a tradition that goes back at least 400 or 500 years, and nobody's really sure where it started. It also coincides with Saint Stephen's Day, one of the saints. But as far as I can tell, there's no correlation between him and boxes. So, or pugilism. Got an email here from Stephen in. He doesn't say where he's emailing from. He says he asked the question, and this is. This defines, in my opinion, the topic that I wanted to talk about in this hour. He says, when a CEO collects $25 million in annual pay, and there's a lot of CEOs who make $25 million is chicken feed compared to what some CEOs make. But when a CEO collects $25 million in annual pay, that is the equivalent of roughly 1,000 annual teachers' salaries. Can you think about how different America would be if every CEO who gets $25 million instead got, say, $1 million, and the other $24 million went for just a little bit shorter than 1,000 annual teacher salaries? Anyhow, Stephen asked the question, how can we justify that differential in valuation to our society? In other words, how can we say that the CEO of a corporation is 1,000 times more valuable to our society than a teacher? How can we possibly say that? Or for that matter, how can we say that a CEO of a corporation is 1,000 times more valuable than an artist or a writer, counselors, social workers, therapists, researchers, coaches, tutors, craftspeople, musicians, singers, poets, landscapers, midwives? The list goes on, Stephen says. How do we justify the fantastic differential in reward? And what I would point out to him is that according to the cons, according to the people who today have hijacked the conservative movement and call themselves conservatives, although I'm telling you, Barry Goldwater is rolling over in his grave. According to the cons, the contributions of teachers, along with all these other groups of people that we call the middle class, firefighters, policemen, and on it goes, and the entrepreneurs, the owners of small and medium-sized businesses who, in a good year might make, $50,000, $100,000, maybe some of them doing really well might even make $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year. I mean, that's, big money for most entrepreneurs in small and medium-sized businesses. That the contribution of, according to the cons, the contribution of our teachers, our writers, our entrepreneurs, our small and medium-sized businesses are simply not as valuable to society as are the contributions of the CEOs and the senior officers and the members of the compensation board of the big corporate empires. It's time that we changed our language in this country. We need to begin calling the situation what it really is. We have now empires, kingdoms. We have corporations that legitimately can be called kingdoms or empires. They are larger than many nations. Their CEOs live in a luxurious lifestyle that literally 90% of the kings of Europe in history would envy. They live absolutely insulated from the people whose lives they affect. They make decisions that lead literally to life and death for the people who serve them. They enjoy the prerequisites and prerogatives of kingly position. They engage in polygamy. They call it serial monogamy. You know, one wife after another with their trophy wives, those who are male, which is the vast majority of them. This is a form of mental illness that very much seems to be associated with testosterone in this culture, of acquisition, unbridled greed. Thomas Jefferson made the point that, here's a quote from Thomas Jefferson, "If the overgrown wealth of an individual be deemed dangerous to the state, the best corrective is the law of equal inheritance to all in equal degree." What he was talking about was an inheritance tax that says you can will to future generations up to a certain amount, and anything over that goes to the state. And the point of this was to prevent the growth of empires of individual wealth. Because what the founders had seen was that empires of individual wealth are contrary to democracy. They always work against democracy. They corrupt democracy. They are corrosive to democracy. Now, back in those days, when Thomas Jefferson said that, if the overgrown wealth of an individual be deemed dangerous to the state, the best corrective is the law of equal inheritance to all in equal degree. Back when Jefferson said that, the only way that an individual or a group of individuals could aggregate enormous wealth was as an individual through a family. And it was subject to inheritance taxes, what the cons euphemistically call death taxes. It sounds so much more terrible when you... the word games that they play, right? The Clear Skies Initiative, the Healthy Forests Initiative. Jefferson understood this well. But back in those days, there wasn't any other form that could be used to aggregate wealth. And that's why today there's no Jefferson Foundation, you know, the wealth and empire of leftover Thomas Jefferson. No. Now, he was living on the edge by his fingernails throughout most of his life. They say, the founders were rich. Look at how much land they had. George Washington tried to free all his slaves before he died. And you had to pay to free your slaves. He had to pay to free all of his slaves because some of his slaves were actually would have been willed into his wife's family. So he had to buy them from her family. He didn't have enough money. Couldn't afford to do it. He freed all his own slaves, but he couldn't free his wife's slaves. They were not, he had a lot of land. Land was cheap back then. There was so much land. It was land for the taking. I mean, setting aside the massacre of Indians as Native Americans as we went west, most of them in the east were killed by diseases that Europeans brought from Europe. But in any case, the point is that back then there was no way to accumulate wealth other than through your family. Because they had put an end to corporate monopolies. Thomas Jefferson tried to write it into the Bill of Rights. James Madison said, you don't need to do that. Every state in the Union has laws against that. Corporations can't exist for more than 40 years. At the end of 40 years, they have to be dissolved. The assets are distributed to the stockholders, and they get to start over again. That was law in the United States up until the 1880s. But now, corporations have become instruments to aggregate wealth. And through the use of these instruments to aggregate wealth, we see these new empires, these new kingdoms arising. And I think it's time to start calling them what they are. They are kingdoms. And their CEOs are kings. They hold the power of life and death. I mean, literally, look at I read to you earlier in the week that new study from the BBC showing that under conservative administrations in England and in Australia, more people commit suicide under conservative administrations than under liberal ones. And between 1900 and 2000, they estimated an additional 35,000 people died under conservative administrations who wouldn't have if conservatives had not been elected. It's not just politics, though. It's at the corporate level, laying people off. You're always going to have a certain number of suicides. You decide you're going to move offshore. You're destroying people's lives. Look at Michael Moore's documentary about Flint, Michigan. Roger and Me. Brilliant.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news. You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free. 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Is there anybody here who'd like to wrap the flag around an early grave? Is there anybody here who thinks they're standing tall around a battle wave? Is there anybody here who'd like to do his part? Soldier to the world and a hero to his heart. I want to see him. I want to wish him luck. I want to shake his hand. Want to call his name. Put a medal on the man. Is there anybody here proud of the parade who'd like to give a cheer and show they're not afraid? I'd like to ask him what he's trying to defend. I'd like to ask him what he thinks he's gonna win. Is there anybody?
And welcome back. Yes, we are here, Phil Oakes. Welcome. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Back in the days of kings and kingdoms, empires and emperors, Rome and Caesars. Back in the days of kings and kingdoms, the kings did not regard particularly highly. I mean, there were certainly limits, as Louis XIV discovered, but or was it Louis XVI? Whichever Louis it was who was married to Marie Antoinette and lost his head in the French Revolution in, what, 1796, as I recall. Anyhow, by and large, though, kings did not regard the consequences of their actions to their serfs. They had to be careful that they didn't harm the nobles too much, as King John found in 1215 when the nobles came to him and basically said, you sign the Magna Carta or we are going to mobilize our private armies against you. But by and large, kings did what they wanted. And what they wanted was always to increase the wealth and power of the kingdom and the king, or the kingdom and the queen. Although the male gender bears the largest responsibility for this, in my opinion. And here we are again. Here we are again. 2003, about to enter 2004. It is the year, the era, once again. Since the Reagan Revolution. The Reagan Revolution was the ascendancy of kings. Jimmy Carter walked to his inauguration, reminding us that we are all the common people, even those of us who get elected president. Ronald Reagan went in a limousine, had the gala balls sponsored by the true kings and kingdoms, America's largest corporations, the corporations that brought him to power, Bechtel and Halliburton and whatnot. And here we see this from Reuters the day before Christmas. Article by David Zeilinger. U.S. companies moving more jobs overseas. Again, the kingdoms, the corporate kingdoms, and their corporate CEO kings concerned only with increasing their own wealth and power. Analysts predict as many as 2 million U.S. white-collar jobs, such as programmers, software engineers, and application designers, will shift to low-cost centers by 2014. It's actually happening much faster than that, according to some. Guyer, this is Linda Guyer, president of Alliance at IBM, which is a group of IBM employees, believes that as many as 40,000 of IBM's 160,000 U.S. jobs will be transferred overseas by 2005. AT&T Wireless just told the SEC that it's going to lay off 1,900 employees this year. The biggest companies looking to offshoring to cut such costs are Microsoft, IBM, and AT&T. But the article says they're reluctant to attract attention for political reasons. And wise they are to be reluctant. This is a serious problem. What can we do about it? And, you know, number one, let's start holding the kings accountable. What most people fail to understand is that there are rules to this game. Let's get into those when we get back from this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is Bill Wellner, Chief Engineer for the IE America Radio Network, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Scientists hope to use a few thousand animals and 10 years of work to paint a new picture of the Pacific Ocean. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Randy Kochivar says it's hard to learn about the lives of sharks, whales, and other creatures in the Pacific Ocean for a simple reason. You can't see them. Kochivar is a marine biologist at the Monterey Bay Aquarium in California, and he says there's still a lot to learn about where animals in the open ocean feed and breed.
If we wanted to describe the African savanna, you know, you could close your eyes and just picture what it would look like to see lions roaming around and chasing zebras and chasing giraffes and so on. But if I asked you to do the same exercise in the Pacific Ocean, you couldn't do that. We don't have that view, that sort of mountaintop looking down view of the interactions of these animals. And it's because we can't just see through water.
Kochivar is working with an international team of scientists to overcome that obstacle. They're attaching sophisticated tags onto 4,000 or 5,000 animals that include whales, sharks, fish, and turtles. The tags carry electronic devices that record location, water temperature, and other information. The tags on the sharks transmit data to satellites. Tags on fish like tuna will be recovered when the fish are caught by sport or commercial fishers.
With these new electronic technologies that we're using to tag and follow these animals, we begin to get that kind of a view of where these animals go and what the forces are that drive those movements.
Kochivar says the project will last for 10 years and describe the travels of 22 species in a completely new way. He says that will help scientists and government managers find ways to protect them from the increasing pressures of pollution and sport and commercial fishing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. Doug Steffen here. It looks like we're having some minor technical problems here at the program. But please stick around. We've dispatched the whole Doug Steffen Good Day technical staff to get this thing fixed. I'm sure we'll be back with our regular show in just a few moments. While we're waiting, here's one of my favorites from the Doug Steffen Memory Vault. The hour, the Doug Steffen Good Day program survey question this morning: is there a dumbing down of America by our government and the media? In other words, is there a conspiratorial relationship between the two, and are you the victim? The option for you to select Doug Steffen, STEPHAN.com. Yes, we don't care about the rest of the world. We're a fat and happy nation. B, yes, it all started with the Clinton administration and is continuing with George W. C, no, we just have a lot of dummies in the media and the government. And D, no, I'm having a wonderful life and I have a great picture of what's going on around the world. Help yourself. We want your opinion. All right, let's get to the email. A lot of email. Every day, lots of email.
Ding dong.
Hi, this first one comes from Dothan, Alabama. I listen to your show every day on WRJM. It would appear that there was a mistake at the station. Richie, this is a relationship question about how we got started yesterday, or was it the day before, whenever it was. There was a little technical snafuzzle, and this listener was very acutely interested in what was going on. He was more interested, I'm going to paraphrase some of this stuff, because I wasn't there and he was expecting to hear my voice, and he heard a short segment of somebody who'd filled in for me a week or so ago.
Right.
And the subject matter had to do with the homosexual lifestyle. I guess from what I understand, I didn't hear the show, but it was about...
It was about newspapers.
Yeah, the newspaper.
Advertising gay marriage.
We've talked about that. More and more newspapers are coming on board, and this guy said, the fellow who was hosting said, if you wanted to have more than one wife, who is the government to tell you what you can't, what you can't? That's sort of the same thing that I said. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize Pat Clausen said it for me. Is he sort of a libertarian like I am?
Oh, big time, big
really?
Time. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So,
he used to, he ran for the libertarian governor in Virginia or something. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But the conversation turned into what business is it of the government?
Yeah.
Who we marry or what we do, whether I marry a man, woman, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's probably the position I would take. Tony in Alabama, who wrote this email, didn't agree with that assessment. He was working on what was the Bible, I guess, his intention to understand that Adam and Eve were not Adam and Steve. At any rate, we appreciate your input, sir.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah, right. Never heard that one before. This one is from Janine Ratter. Recently became aware of your show and really enjoy it. I like not being hit over the head with mean-spirited comments on the political scene. Nancy can tell you about Don Wade on WLS. I get you here on WHFB in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Don Wade, is he the guy on the morning, Nancy?
Yes.
And is he mean? I didn't know that he was mean-spirited. Is he mean-spirited?
Nancy, I can't comment on that. He's a colleague of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
He takes the traditional, you know, I'm right, you're wrong, Clinton is the devil approach, and anyone who even has an independent thought in their head is an idiot approach to radio.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, here's one. Your comment today was that many Americans think politics is a joke. When did I say that? One day last week? Politics is a joke.
Yeah.
I take offense at that statement. Look at what our political system has given us. Crooks like Nixon, the Clintons, Torricelli. They're only the tip of the iceberg. So, sir, why are you disagreeing with me? philanderers like Clinton, the Kennedys, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Liars. All politicians, whenever their lips are moving. I mean, this guy goes on. He says, tottering old fools like Byrd and Helms and Thurmond. And Byrd is looking like, even though he's kind of a joke in many ways, he's on the money when it comes to what the president is trying to get done in Iraq.
Sir, those tottering old fools did quite a good job in their day of stealing all
day.
Of your money.
Yeah, right. They were better at it when they were younger.
Give them a little credit.
Exactly. Politics in this country is a sad joke. That's what he sort of is underscoring what I said, talking about the race in Oklahoma, the choice for senators between a guy who supports term limits for everybody but himself and an ex-governor who was convicted of ethics violations. And that's true. We have, you know, we don't have a lot of people. There are some good people who are in office. There's no question that there are some well-intentioned people, some really good, strong intellects. Some people have the best interests of everybody at heart, but they are not, unfortunately, the majority. Here's an email from Kevin in Cincinnati who writes, Bush came here last week because the town is predominantly Republican, which means the area is totally messed up. I just can't believe that he picked the most corrupt city in the country to deliver his rhetoric. By the way, he can't speak for Congress unless he's invited or speak at Congress. So this was a response. This was after the president made his case about Iraq, right? And I asked on the air why he went to Cincinnati.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. I listen to your show on the Internet because the airwaves around here are flooded with propaganda. I'm glad I found IE America, except when they play the wrong tape. I don't know if
that's okay. Oops.
Seems to be a trend this week.
Right, exactly. All right. Here's another one. Nancy. Hi, Doug and Nancy. I enjoy your... What is this? These people calling... They say, hi, Doug and Nancy. I enjoy your show tremendously. This isn't the Nancy Skinner show. It doesn't
it's
say
not the
Doug Stephan
show.
Nancy
it's the Doug Stephan show.
Anyway, did we... What? What is that?
Keep going.
Anyway, the question is whether or not the station changed our time in this particular, I think, yeah, we went later on this station, which is in the northern central coast of California. Used to hear Mike Gallagher there. We don't now. We hear you. I'd rather listen to you because of Nancy. Oh, wait a minute. How come, what is this? I'd
You're
rather
not
listen.
You're supposed to read those on the air?
What's
Put
the big
that
idea?
In the do not read on the air pile.
Yeah.
9 out of 10 Doug Stephan listeners prefer Nancy Skinner.
Really, Rich? Where'd you get that? Prefer
Zombie.
Them over me? Really?
Zombie.
Is that over me, or they prefer Nancy Skinner with me than
with
if
you.
I were by
with
myself?
You. Of course.
This guy said, oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Eileen who writes, you have a good rapport with Nancy, and I like the different viewpoints you all have and the intelligent, friendly exchange of ideas, plus the humor. Thanks for giving you so much enjoyment when I can't sleep. All right, Eileen. Nancy, see, they think... We are funny.
Oh, go pound sand.
It's nice to know that we keep people awake.
Yeah. All right, here's Rebecca Wolf, who writes, I had to write to you. I can't understand why you would cut off the man that called this morning and asked why you didn't listen to the president's speech. It was a very legitimate question. Since commentary on his speech was obviously going to be a part of your program, it was something any well-prepared host would have done, regardless of whether or not he or she believed that there would be nothing new. Nancy and Rich. Nancy and Rich were informed and professional, much more so than you were. The other thing I have
the
wanted to
say... The premise
that's
wrong there is well-prepared host. Who says that that's your goal?
That's right.
I don't remember asking
what do
you.
No, what do you always say, Doug?
This is a program that
is spontaneous. Why confuse the issues with the facts?
No, I don't say that. I say that I am here. The reason that I am here is to stimulate conversation and think. This is a conversation program. There is nothing anywhere that says I have to be telling you what either I know to be the truth or I don't know to be the truth. I will tell you if I feel very strongly about something. Like this morning, we've had a lot of time spent on some things that I feel very strongly about. It's obvious when I'm going down that path. If I'm shooting from the hip or saying something just to stir people up, or I'm repeating something that's outrageous, you'll pretty much know it. And some people don't hear all of the things that are said, so they automatically attribute some moronic, idiotic statement to me, when in fact I'm just repeating somebody else's moronic, idiotic statement. You know, like something Nancy or Rich would say.
That's right.
You know, that's the stuff that usually is misinformation. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to say is your attitude toward the people who say they will never listen to you again. I always have to laugh at that attitude when these people say that they will not listen. They eventually do tune you in again, don't they? Perhaps you're unaware that some people like me have no other choice, though. Have no other choice than to listen to you on the radio. I periodically do turn you off when I can't stand it any longer. But because you are the only station where I am in this rural area of Oregon, we're like this person being forced to listen to me. I didn't realize
how
that's
she feels.
Really, Rich?
It's like being a prisoner on Guantanamo Bay.
That's right.
Not a lot of choice.
I feel your pain, sister.
Rebecca is in Walla Walla, Oregon. Okay, Rebecca, thank you very much.
J.R. So am I, mentally.
Davis, really. I've been a fan for a long time, and I am a far-right conservative. I've never met a liberal that I liked. But on Monday, I did not agree with the way you treated that lady liberal on your show. She's only a woman, after all, a liberal woman. Forgive her because she is so good-looking.
Okay.
You ought to see the flame shooting out of her ears right now.
She's only a woman.
And forgive her because she's so good looking.
Yeah.
She had her face buried in that newspaper, and then all of a sudden she's perked right up.
All right. Well, you can see Nancy this
afternoon.
She
knows not for which she has done. Forgive her.
She is only a woman.
Doesn't get it. Anyway, Nancy will be on MSNBC with Pat Buchanan this afternoon.
She'll be the one with the pink blouse.
Right, and the blonde hair and the blue eyes. Right. And
this looks is not like actually what I'm going to wear.
Oh, it isn't. No.
Really? Well, of course, Richie. She always brings about 13 changes of clothes.
She's got a suitcase. You ought to see the suitcase. Yeah. I take smaller suitcases on one-week vacations.
Really?
And, Nancy, you're here for a day?
Got
yeah.
Wardrobe or garb.
You wouldn't believe what they do to me.
Yeah. Really? Well, we'll have to tune in and find out this afternoon. All right, so that's it. Here's the email bag for today. Attention, ladies, are you unhappy with your current bus line?
Oh, great.
Got my attention.
I hadn't read this commercial through before. Let's see if we can wind our way through this one, Richie. Are you unhappy, ladies, with your current bus line? Do you wish you could increase your chest size 1 to 3 cup sizes without spending thousands of dollars on painful implant surgery?
Because I enjoyed them enormously.
Well,
now wait a minute. Why did they hire you to do the spot and not me to do the spot?
Yeah.
Well, would it make more sense for
Richie,
me to do the spot?
Send me a copy or whatever. Let's see her do it.
I'll send this copy and Nancy will do this commercial in a little bit. 18 after on Good Day.
My husband asks it.
Hi, folks. Doug Steffen again. Looks like we've got the technical problem solved. Seems like one of my cows was chewing on the wires and got a bit of a surprise. Would you believe carbonated milk? Well, now it's time to go back to me and the folks on the program live. Thanks for being patient, and thank you, me.
Show.
Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, I love a rainy night, such a beautiful sight. I love to feel it, rain on my face, taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shadow. Showers wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day, cause I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love a rainy night. Well, I love a rainy night.
Welcome back, Andy. It was a rainy night. Actually, it was the night before last. Yesterday it was snowing, and today, and here in the People's Republic of Vermont. By the way, our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont. Thank you, Louise. Our music edited by Brad Walrod in New York City. Thank you to the chat room folks who dropped in. Our collection of regulars and visitors and just some extraordinary all-around fantastic people. Thank you for participating in the chat room today and keeping me straight and on course here. And special thanks to John Lucas for showing up and engineering our program there in Detroit, Michigan. Thank you, John. Yes, indeed. Well done. Bravo to all. Okay, if you think that this issue that I'm talking about these new kings, the corporate kings and the corporate kingdoms that they run, the CEO kings, is only about wealth, the real issue here is not, in my opinion, about wealth. That's a problem. But the real issue is about power. This has to, because in our society, money equals power, particularly when you're talking about money in the millions to billions of dollars. People with hundreds of millions or billions of dollars have a level of power such that they can get the President of the United States to do things for them. They can get senators to do things for them. They can get congresspeople to do things for them. They can get things done that you or I couldn't because their wealth represents power. As the Christian Science Monitor points out, we must be concerned with the ratio of unequal wealth in America. You know, having pointed out that it has doubled. The ratio of inequality in the United States has doubled since the Reagan Revolution and is now at its widest since 1929. And they say we must be concerned with the ratio of unequal wealth because money is power. And when it is divided very unequally, those with power will use it politically in selfish ways. When that inequality removes hope and incentive for people at the bottom, it undermines character and responsibility, producing despair and more bad choices. It's not good for democracy. That's the bottom line. Now, our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, the organic wine company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, and the Newsletter Factory, newsletterfactory.com. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you for listening. Join us tomorrow. We'll be back on the air on Monday. Join us Monday, same time, same place. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.